It's time to get away from it all. Doesn't matter if you say you or y'all. Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Perry Woods, and indeed welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome to another episode. I am Tony Colombo in studio with producer Leah and professional fisherman Mike Marfell and my partner, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors, Mark McMurray. Great to see you, buddy.
Yeah, good to be here. Good to be here.
Yes, so, sir.
Very exciting weekend because it is daylight savings time, spring forward. So if you are listening to the show right now on Saturday morning, because we play the show now also on Sundays. So if you're listening on Saturday morning on News Talk STL, make sure that tonight you set your clocks ahead. If you're listening on Sunday and you haven't done that yet,
you're gonna miss the show
and set your clocks because you don't know what time it is right now. So I love that. I know it's not the official beginning of spring, but it's one of those milestones on the calendar, Mark, that we cross, and it feels like that sun's out longer in the afternoon.
Kind of the start of this season.
Yeah. Feels like we're getting into the
a little
spring
bit of budding on the trees.
Yeah, feels like we're getting into the spring and summer season.
No, we're getting there.
Which I
water temperature's on its way back up.
Yeah,
so
that's
game on.
We are going to talk a lot about fishing today with Mike as we go through the show. Of course, we'll bring you the fishing report in our third segment a little bit later on. So keep it here for that. We always bring you the fishing report towards the end of the show here on the Bluff City Outdoor Show. And there is a lot to talk about. I wanted to, before we look forward, I wanted to ask you, Mark, how did the spring sale end up at Bluff City Outdoors? My daughter and I were out there this past weekend, and Maggie had a blast shooting bow and arrow in the archery
range. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, she seemed like she had a good time.
She loved it. I put that video on my Twitter, at Tony Colombo Talk, if you want to go and check it out. You can see the archery range, and you can see my daughter shooting for the very first time in her life, and she absolutely loved it. And I stocked up. Took advantage of the spring sale and filled a bunch of gaps in my tackle box to get things ready for this season.
It was pretty good. I mean, we had a good turnout. I mean, we had a Friday was real, real busy because we also had the Twisted Cats tournament in town.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of those guys were coming in and stopping by. And then Saturday after the tournament, a lot of them stopped by after the tournament. So it was pretty good. I do know that, you know, we had the Catfish Conference the weekend before. Mm-hmm. I think next year we're going to push it out maybe another week just so we can get a
give yourself some breathing room.
We were still unloading stuff.
Oh yeah, you guys were running pretty thin. You guys were hard. You were putting stuff on the shelves.
Yeah, we still got boxes.
As people were taking it off the shelves.
We learned a little bit of a lesson.
Might be a smart move to buy yourself an extra week there, but. It was a great weekend to check out, and now that we are kind of making that, you know, transition into the spring, if you are needing to plug some holes in the tackle box or get anything prepared for the new season before you get back out on the water, make sure you get out there and visit Bluff City Outdoors, and also definitely take advantage of the archery range and, you know, the leagues. You can get into a league out there, and Jeff is just, I know I said this to you while we were out there shopping this weekend, and we've had Jeff on the show before. He's the bow tech out at Bluff City Outdoors. He's just the best.
He knows that stuff. Every direction.
My daughter.
I mean, it's incredible the depth of his knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. And she's, my daughter's 12 years old, and she's a very accomplished gymnast. So she has great hand-eye coordination.
The balance.
Yeah. She does have, you know, so she's got a little bit of that natural ability, but for a 12-year-old girl who has never shot bow and arrow in her life to pick it up and to be hitting the target pretty good within 3 or 4 shots ever, I think says a lot about Jeff.
Absolutely.
And his teaching ability and his coaching ability and the way that he
says a lot about your daughter taking the coaching too. Yeah. That, I mean,
you don't have to be somebody, you know, it's not like you have to be a bodybuilder to go to the gym. Like, you don't have to have this great depth of archery experience to go out to Bluff City Outdoors and have a blast
whatever,
in the range.
Whatever level you're at.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, starting at beginning.
Absolutely.
The open-mindedness to listen to guys like the Bowtech mm-hmm. telling you what to do. I've been shooting pistols all my life, and I still go take private lessons because there's a lot to be learned.
Absolutely.
Guys
Absolutely.
That do it for a living,
mm-hmm.
you know, and with 20-some years of combat veterans out there, and a lot of those guys are teaching stuff, you can yeah. learn a lot.
You know, and what else is really cool about that and guys like Jeff is that if my daughter or another kid goes out to do something for the first time and it is confusing or hard or it doesn't go well that first time,
they might not go back.
They may never go back. That could turn them off for good.
Yeah.
And it you know, so the fact that she, the first time she ever shot bow and arrow, went out there and had success in the range was awesome.
Yeah, that's what you want it to be.
Yeah.
You want good success right off at the first time.
Yeah.
That's why you're taking bluegill fishing first, right, Mark?
Bluegill fishing. I mean, that's
exactly.
why, you know, when somebody comes in and hasn't fished before and they want to know, you know, what they need to catch fish, if they're fishing on a pond, I'm giving yeah. them a beetle spin, a rooster tail, or a roadrunner.
Yeah. You catch a bluegill, a bass, and a crappie.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, because those baits work everywhere.
That's
and
right.
They're small, so all different types of fish hit
yep.
them. You know,
yep.
That's what you want. You want cool. success.
Yeah, farm ponds. You don't want to take a kid to Lake of the Ozarks and try to
no.
teach him how to bass fish. No.
No.
So
no.
You go to a farm pond where you can catch nine on nine casts.
That's right.
That's where you
that's
go.
That's right. And then
how you hook them.
Yep, yeah. That's exactly right. And that's exactly what happened in the archery
room. I'm smelling we need a youth league in the
yeah.
archery.
Yeah, yeah, we're trying to, I mean,
like,
that's,
come down and learn
yeah,
kind of
come
thing.
Down and learn. That's definitely on the agenda. We're trying to you know, get more and more established as we can.
That's
yeah,
so
it's
cool.
just like the bass fishing, right? Get the high school kids fishing. They're buying stuff for life.
Yeah, yep. She's already mentioned to me a couple times how much she wants to go back and shoot some more. So that was awesome. You also mentioned the Twisted Cat tournament, which is there in Alton in the exact same spot as the Alton Catfish Classic, which is your big tournament in the fall. And as I was driving over the bridge, I could see, you know, the setup happening over there at the amphitheater as I was when I was in Alton visiting you this past weekend. What did you hear from the guys that were out there this weekend?
Oh, so I went down to the weigh-in, you know, just told Alex I'd go down there and just, you know, hang out with them for a little bit. And that was about as tough a catfishing tournament as you're going to get. After talking to Will down there, mm-hmm. one of my buddies who fished it, he had second big fish, 65 pounds. And he said there were, you know, there were trees floating down the river.
Oh, I bet all that rain we had.
Yeah, because they said the river came up 8 feet.
Yeah.
Which is like in a day.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, once the light came up, he goes, holy crap, we're out here in this stuff. Because he said, yeah, trees floating down the river.
It's funny you say that because just yesterday, if you're listening on Saturday, on Friday on Columbo and Katie, we always talk to Steve Templeton, chief meteorologist over Channel 4, and I actually asked him about river levels and all that because remember we talked so much late last year about
how low,
historically low, you could see the bottom of the mm-hmm. rivers as you're driving over the bridges. And, you know, we talked about that on this show also because how it impacted, you know, the waterways and fishing and all of that. And Steve mentioned that the water levels are coming back. They're coming back in a big way. And a lot of it is due to, and he said there is still several feet of snowpack in a lot of areas north
Minnesota.
Along the Mississippi River.
Mm-hmm.
And so that water is still coming.
Yeah.
So it's already getting better and it's only going to get, they're only going to fill up even more. And he was even talking about some flooding that mm-hmm. he thinks is going to happen in the spring in these rivers. So talk about
the
roller coaster in St. Louis. I mean, we always joke about
the Midwest
how
weather, right?
We always joke about how temperatures can change 50 degrees in a day, but we can also go from, you know, historic right. drought conditions to flooding.
Right.
Yeah. Usually that, you know, a spring flood, usually the groundwork's laid in the fall.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a really wet fall, and mm-hmm. get the rivers up a little bit. Because, you know, historically, they're pretty low in the fall over the
yeah.
winter anyway.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, I mean, I don't want to see a big flood, but you do want to see the rivers get recharged, water and stuff.
So. So with all of that, stuff out there, it just made it a difficult.
It's dangerous.
Road to hoe.
Difficult, dangerous. I mean, the current was just ripping.
Yeah.
You know, the water had come up so fast, the fish, it just changed their pattern.
Yeah, if you had something figured out, that was out the window.
Yeah, it was out the window. It
just, so. Same was at the Lake of the Ozarks last weekend. I mean, we didn't go down Thursday because I knew about the grandbaby coming. It was because we seen all the rain coming, and I was like, Gabe, why go practice when it's 70 and sunny when it's going to be cold and rainy and get 3 inches of rain? Everything's going to change. Might as well wait till Saturday. So
I was going to, and you just alluded to it, the next thing I was going to do was to say congratulations
to
Mike Marfell, who is a brand new granddaddy.
Yay.
Yeah, congratulations.
Just on Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
Tell us about your new granddaughter.
She came at weigh-in, like the 10 horse and Greg were weighing in. She came right at weigh-in time. 7 pounds, 7 or 8 ounces, 20 inches, Dakota Joy Marfell.
Oh, that is so great.
Yeah.
First granddaughter.
First grandkid, period.
Nice.
Yep.
Congratulations.
It's very confusing, much like Leah made me feel old a few weeks ago. Now it's justified, so I'm good.
I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I know you've
Being a grandpa means sitting on the porch, sipping whiskey and chewing tobacco, I qualify, so we're good.
Yeah.
Well, we're good.
And also, congratulations to your son, who is the daddy, and also somebody who is serving this
active
country.
Active duty, yep.
He's active duty, so... I know there was a little bit of there's a little chaos trying to get
him. Yeah, they had to run it up the flagpole, but he got here. They drove him through the middle of the night.
That is so cool.
Soldiers will figure it out.
That is so cool. Well, congratulations
Thank you.
And your family.
Excited for him. Everybody's happy and healthy and back home. So.
That's awesome. That's
got
awesome.
A ways to go to catch up to me. I'm at 8. I got 8 grandkids.
Oh,
two
here
on the way.
Here we go. Yeah.
8 and 2 on the way.
I always hear that the grandkids are even better than the kids because you get all of the positives without the negatives.
Hop them up on sugar and send them home.
Yes, yeah. All the fun stuff and then
yep.
And then we'll see you next time. Yeah, that's great. Congratulations, buddy. That is so awesome.
It's awesome. It is awesome.
I want to talk to Mike a little bit about, because I know that because of the new addition to the family, you had somebody sub for you.
Yes, sir.
In the tournament this past weekend. But we have a lot of reports from folks like your partner Gabe and others about the tournament this past weekend at the Lake of the Ozarks and fishing in general. And with the days being longer now and us getting into daylight savings time and hopefully the temperature is starting to warm up.
Oh, it is.
There's going to be a lot of exciting things happening out on the water. So I want to get into all of that as we go through the show today. You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk.
I ain't got a high-powered motor.
You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoors Show on News Talk STL.
Morton guitar and an outdoor carpet dance floor.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL, talking about these longer days with daylight savings time being upon us this weekend and all of these signals that the spring and summertime weather is right around the corner. And one of the things that you can be doing more and more of in the great outdoors now, especially with that sun being out a little bit longer, is taking advantage of that and doing some grilling. Next time you are out with the barbecue pit, make sure you have some Rockwood Lump Charcoal with you. Rockwood Lump Charcoal is just a superior product, and it's a small local business. You're supporting local business, you're supporting local industry, and you're using a product that has been rated the number one consumer-ranked charcoal in the country 9 years running. Rockwood Lump Charcoal, if you've never grilled with lump charcoal before, it's a little bit different than the traditional briquettes, so there's a little bit of a learning curve, but you figure it out pretty quickly, and then you will understand why you will never want to go back to anything else. The lump charcoal just is cleaner, it burns hotter, it burns faster, it gives you more control over your grilling experience, and it's once you do it once, you will be hooked, and you can also take advantage of other great Rockwood products like their smoking woods and other things. Rockwood Charcoal is available in over 100 area stores. Find the closest one to you, as well as pick up some grilling tips and tricks all at rockwoodcharcoal.com. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Leah, fisherman Mike Marfell, and my partner, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors, Mark McMurray. Mike, wanted to talk to you about you had the granddaughter.
Yes, sir.
So had to find a sub. Can't be there for the birth of your granddaughter.
That sub was easy peasy. He was my old tournament partner from last year. He's Greg Glant, the owner of Glant Roofing, that helped. I just dropped him as soon as I found out the water broke. The next morning I dropped him, and he was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. So that was taken care of.
So that tournament was this past weekend at the Lake of the Ozarks, correct?
It was on Sunday. Anglers in Action Team. It was a kickoff for the 2023 season.
Okay.
There was an Ozark Mountain Team Trail on Saturday, the day before, that me and Gabe were going to jump in that blind too, but Greg couldn't do that, so they just fished the Saturday.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry, on the Sunday.
Yeah.
And you know, they had 2.5 to 3 inches of rain on, I think it was Friday night, mm-hmm. and 40 mile an hour winds. So
yeah, that was the. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. It was brutal. But the turnout was awesome, like it always is for Anglers in Action. I got some stuff here. If you want to get into it, like how good the fishing was on Sunday compared to Saturday.
Yeah, we'll do the traditional fishing report at the end of the show like we always do. But I do want to talk about, you know, what guys were experiencing out there, what you heard.
Yeah, all that. 207 boats is a heck of a turnout for starters.
Yeah, okay.
And one of the things that I thought was crazy was the weights were really tight in Anglers in Action. The top three boats, the first place through third, was first place was 23 pounds. Second place was 2194. Third place was 2047. And then it really started dropping off. Greg and Gabe got 50th with 1199.
Mm.
So one call, like I've told you always before, they could have been in 20th.
Yeah.
One kicker. They could have jumped up there.
Yeah.
First place. Oh, and Big Bass. Big Bass on Sunday was 721.
Ooh.
Caught in the graveway on a jig. So that jig bite's coming back around.
Uh-huh.
The winners caught everything on a jerkbait.
Okay.
And the other two boats, everything on an Alabama rig. So,
man.
First and second were up by the dam. Third was in the mid-lake area, like Lynn Creek, that area. So the fishing was good all over the place. Lots of limits, but then there was a weird thing that I thought was strange. See, so this is my thought, is the guys that missed the bite, you know, didn't get a limit. You know, our guys had a limit. They just were 12 pounds. Yep. It just wasn't big enough.
Mm-hmm.
But there was 58 boats that blanked. Didn't weigh a fish.
Really?
So what my thoughts on this, and Mark might back me up on this, those guys that practice early and had that stuck in their head, where my guys went, we didn't practice like till Saturday.
Right.
Because all that rain, everything changes. So you get stubborn on where you're fishing and how you're fishing. That much rain,
it changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, out of the Twisted Cat 68 boats, I think only 18 weighed fish.
Yeah. So Ozark Mountain. Yeah.
Wow.
Ozark Mountain Team Trail was on Sunday, and the weights were significantly less on Sunday. So it progressively got better after the rain as the rain's coming in. Because I had a buddy of mine, he was going in blind. He's a Table Rock guy. He's a guide down there. And he was like, hey, buddy, drop me a line. Like, what do I got to do to catch fish here on Saturday after all this rain? I said, I would hit as many points as I could, main lake and secondary channel swings. And if that ain't working, it's runoff time. Go fish some runoff.
Yeah.
And I think... I'm not talking right where it comes in, but the middle of the backs of those creeks are going to have a little bit dirtier water. Things are getting stirred up. It takes a while for that to make it out to the main lake. But a lot of times, you know, that's bringing in all kinds of nutrients or whatever you want to call it, more oxygen and chase that stuff.
That's interesting because, especially at Lake of the Ozarks, but in many other places too, you know, that's a very popular thing to do, to find those creeks that are feeding those lakes and you fish the runoff. I think a lot of people... do think that that means you fish right up on it or right?
Well, you can at times. There's times, mostly in the warmer times of the year.
How far back are we talking here?
A few hundred yards, probably. Yeah. Probably where it starts to change color be where I would start. You know,
that's a good tip.
And why I say it's better in the warmer months, because that's cooling the water, and you don't want it cooling this time of year. So, but it's not going to cool it 100 yards away.
Right.
But it's going to have all that nutrients and this bait moving around. The bait's coming in to feed on whatever's coming in. The bass are following them.
And I want to go back to the that tournament and back to the lake in a minute. But I, what you just said about the
I'm interested to hear about that.
The catfish tournament that we were talking about in the last segment, the Twisted Cat tournament that was in Alton this past weekend. We talked about how with all the water coming back into the rivers, especially from the snow that is melting up north, and how that's creating current and sending a bunch of debris. You said fishermen were saying that literal trees
coming down,
that they're dodging.
That was down in Missouri.
Yeah, so I assume that that was that played probably a larger role than it just being a bad fishing day.
Oh yeah, that,
why so many boats were blanked.
Could be a bad day for your insurance.
They're
man.
Literally like battling the elements.
Yeah, you're battling the elements. I mean, so, you got trees coming down. It was windy. I mean, it was.
I wanted
really windy that day.
Ask you if you've heard anything from anybody at the shop or anybody that was in the tournament about how long they expect that to last. Like, is that something that there's a blast of it, you know, this past weekend, and then it kind of settles down, or is this going to be something that we're dealing with for a while?
So if we do get some high water conditions, once that gets kind of up and starts hanging in that level, fishing gets real good at that point in time, especially from the bank. Guys will just light it up. Those fish get out of the current. They get over to the banks to get out of the current. They catch a lot at that time.
It'll settle down pretty quickly, right?
Yeah,
I mean, depending on what they do with the lock or the dam, but yeah.
Right now, they're pretty much letting her run. Free.
Letting her eat.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is it was so low when the water comes up, it just grabs all the stuff.
They got a lot of room to
bank.
Fill. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of room to fill. So it's not like we don't need the water, but it does create.
Yeah. And all that debris, like I said, it was on the high and dry when the water comes up and floats it, and then off it goes when that current starts cooking. So
back to the lake, back to the tournament last week, and then just sort of, you know, as we go through this, you know, just like tips in general for this year. It was interesting.
Oh, we got that.
When you said the wedding boats, the boats that did well and what they were using, and you said jigs and you said Alabama rigs, and I feel like we have been saying the same stuff.
Yeah, we just
for the last
this weekend
weeks.
I think turned a corner.
Yeah.
The water temperatures are coming back up.
So you think that it's
only going to get better from now to the spawn.
Yeah, and you've been saying that, you know, we do the fishing report every week all year long, you know, there's guys fishing in December and January, and we're getting fishing reports all year long. But you've been saying throughout the winter, it's not going to change much week to week until a certain point. So that's where I was going. And you just kind of So we're about there where it's
we're there.
It is
we're there. The water temperature was in the low 40s, high 30s, and now we're in the mid 40s, and some places the high 50 or the low 50s. So it's on its way back up with these longer days and the temperatures coming up, and it's from now till the spawn, it's just going to keep getting better.
So a lot of talk about Alabama rigs and jigs and all of that. Is it just fishing a different way, or is it changing lures?
We're changing lures and we're changing areas.
Okay.
So here's my tip. This kind of was going to be in the fishing report, but we'll just throw it out there now.
We'll still do the fishing report.
You got to think about where the bass have been in the winter. The channel swings we talked about, the main lake points, the bluff ends. And then you got to think about the spawning areas, and then you got to find that highway between those two, because they're going to slowly make their way back to those spawning areas. So I was going to say, right now the lake is down 5 feet. It'll be down a full 6 feet, I believe, for winter pool by next week's what they're predicting. Even if you don't have a tournament, if you can get down there and idle around and look at where the rock transitions are, because you can see them now. They're out of the water. You can see, here's where it goes from chunk rock to gravel, or here's where it goes from boulders to chunk rock, or, that's the highway. Those are they like to. You got a bank like that, the bass like to set right on that line because they can pick or choose. Heck, you can go pick out individual boulders that you can see. Like, that's why I've caught 5-pounders here in the past. There's a big boulder right there.
Right.
You know, so it's a great time to idle around and look at that stuff, look at the brush piles, that sort of thing. But just think about how they're going to get from their winter spots to their spawning spots. Yeah. I've got maps, old school paper maps, that I have those areas highlighted.
Yeah, I like looking at it as
All animals have their navigation system.
Yeah, yeah, and they like to go on hard. So if you can, you know, bass don't like to have their bellies muddy. So you want to find those hard spots between the spawning areas and the main lake areas.
I like looking at it that way because it kind of makes it helps it make sense. Like if I can find the road home, and I can give them a pit stop on that road
home. Well, you know they're on the main lake point, and there's a spawning area. They're going to be somewhere between there, between now and the spawn.
Okay, so you just said that you don't look for this stuff now. Specifically, what are the things that you're looking for?
I'm looking for a bank that's got a combination of rock and wind blowing on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like they're going to stay on that side of the coast. You know, they're not going to run back there in one day. They're going to make their way back there.
Right.
So wind changes direction the next day and the wind's blowing on the other bank, they're going to be on that other bank most likely. And then you add in a dock and a brush pile, even better. And from now till the spawn, I'm going to have a jerkbait. I hate the Alabama rig. We've talked about that. I'm going to have a jerkbait. And first place proved it, right? They got them all on jerkbait.
Right.
And you're going to get to start working that jerkbait faster. You don't have to just let it set as the water gets warmer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have I'm a jig guy. So number one thing I'm going to have on is a couple different sizes of jigs. And then I'm going to have a jerkbait and a big spinnerbait, like at least a 1/2 ounce, but probably a 3/4 double willow leaf. Can't go wrong at Lake of the Ozarks with a white and chartreuse with a big, two big willow leaf blades. It's just a great, and I usually trailer it with a swim bait on the back. It's a big honking, you ain't going to go catch a lot of fish on it, but if one gets it, it's going to be a good one.
And what I love about that is people have been bass fishing with spinnerbaits for 100 years, and sometimes... Oh.
So why it gets forgotten, I don't know.
There's a reason for that.
There's a reason for that. Absolutely.
Like, they're taking advantage of technology and, you know, discovery and evolving the science and all of that. That's all great. And you should do that.
Yeah, you see but me with a Ned rig and a spinning rod, you need to check my temperature. Something's not right.
But sometimes you do just fine with the same exact thing your great-grandpa was fishing
Yes,
with.
That's why I loved it when the Alabama rig got big and the swim baits got big, because people quit throwing spinner baits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just did. Mm-hmm. It seems like, you know. The other two baits is going to be a wiggle water, a rock crawler, something I can just grind into the ground. I mean, just grind it into the bottom. Mm-hmm. And a square bill around docks.
Yeah.
If you're wanting to cover water.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I'll need. You can throw a soft plastic and like a brush hog or something instead of a jig, but I just think the jig catches bigger fish is just my thing. And we've talked about it a million times, I can put it places I can't put those other baits. Right. I can't skip a spinnerbait way back up under a dock. But you, on my way to the back of that dock, you can bet I'm throwing that big spinnerbait on the front of that dock or on the windy side of that dock.
On lures.
It'll come a long way for that dude.
On lures like this, the square bill crankbait and the spinnerbait, the lures that you have to retrieve, what's the speed, what's the depth?
That square bill is going to run about 4 feet. The wiggle wart's going to, you know, 8-9 feet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll throw that wiggle wart in 3 feet, 4 feet, and just grind it to the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, but it's going to be real slow, real methodical. Just barely turn it, just to where you can feel your rod shaking. And when it quits shaking, you need to give it a little. Somebody's got it. Mm-hmm. You know, because the spinnerbait, same thing. It's just a nice, slow, and steady retrieve. I usually back it down to like a 6.3-to-1 gear ratio reel, something. So I tend to be hyped up, so I need to back the gear ratio down. Because these new reels, I've got a lot of 8.3-to-1s. Yeah, I mean, you'll bust your your eyelid out of your rod reeling up a jig because it's coming. I think the latest one I got will bring in 33 inches of line for every reel turn.
Wow.
So hyperspeed?
Yeah, it's the 8.3-to-1, I think.
Well, I got a 9.5-to-1.
Oh, they do? Yeah. That, I don't need that. I'll probably come all the way up and break my teeth out with that thing. But yeah. But you want that to catch up to them, you know?
What did you just say there? Because I was just going to ask, what is the advantage? What is the need?
If one is coming, put slack in the line coming towards you to catch up so then you can get a hook set.
So it's more for, it's not for.
Well, it works great for running a buzz bait where you can keep it up real easy. You don't have to turn it real fast.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Sure, that makes sense.
You know, you ever tried to throw a buzz bait on a Zebco 33? Ain't happening.
Every time I've ever fished in my life, I've thrown a buzz bait with a Zebco 33.
Are you serious?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's tricky. You try it on that new Reese reel. You can just.
Oh yeah. Oh no!
Just barely wind it.
I haven't done it.
Morey, he likes the faster retrieves a lot of times. He talks about to get because he wants his bait in the strike zone. So once it's out of that strike zone,
bringing it back. There's a lot of that too.
Oh, when
I'm specifically pitching docks and only fishing under the cables, as soon as I get it out of there, I can reel it back.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you'd be surprised how many times reeling it back you get a bite, and then that clues you in to I don't need that jig on the bottom. I need to be swimming it.
I mean, I've definitely 99% of the time, you know when you're out of the strike zone and it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But we've all had that experience where you've given up on a cast and then all of a sudden you get this hit where you didn't expect it.
And you know what my theory is on that is because it was following that and all of a sudden it accelerated. It was like, no, you ain't getting away.
Yeah.
So is the
fast, maybe it's just both, that having that hyper speed retrieving setting, is it more for once you've hooked the fish to make sure that you get a good set, or does it help with the actual retrieve and the
I think it's more the actual retrieve. I mean, sometimes you want to, if you're fishing, you lose power when you go for speed, you lose power.
Yeah.
So, like, for fighting the fish, people mistake that you use the rod for that. Mm-hmm. You got to have the right rod. You know, if you got too stiff of a rod and you're fishing a treble hook bait, it's going to pull off usually. So you want something that's got some, when you're fishing a jerk bait, the rod does all the work on fighting them because you got light line. So it's more for the presentation than it is for the fighting of the fish, in my opinion. Now, they used to make an old school Abu Garcia had one that shifted. It was a faster retrieve, and when you put tension on the drag, it downshifted. But it didn't last very long because there was way too many moving parts and it was heavy and it just didn't work out. Because ultimately you would like to have a second. I think even some of the ocean going reels have
a lot of those have two speeds.
Yeah.
Some of them even have three speeds.
Yeah, so that's that. But most of them it's for the presentation.
How popular is that, Mark? Is that something that's picking up even more, like, you know, optional speeds on the retrieve of the reel or?
Don't see that around here.
Don't they use pretty slow gear ratios to fight those big cats, though?
Yeah, they're usually
like four?
4-1 to 1, 4-2
yeah.
to 1.
Yeah.
5-3 to 1 is about as fast.
Yeah. I've got an old Quantum that's super old, but I kept it around because it's like, I want to say it's like a 4.1 to 1, which is good for a crankbait because you're not, if you overwork a crankbait, it loses its action.
Mm-hmm.
So. You can't reel that too fast. I mean, you'd be exhausted trying to reel it too fast. So, and it gets. I use it for fishing deep divers mostly, like DD22s and Strike Kings. You know, their deep diver. What's that? The Strike King 10 or whatever it is, the great big one
or whatever.
Yeah, and 8-foot rod and that you can throw it a mile and then just it's like having a winch basically.
Yeah.
Because if you had a high speed reel, you'd be exhausted reeling that great big crankbait back. That's the thing.
Mark, as you mentioned earlier, not only are you fresh off the spring sale at Bluff City Outdoors, but also the show season. You've been all over the Midwest, and then you had the annual sale out at the shop as we prepare for this new season, or if you want to call it that, as you know, the springtime starts. Are you getting any intuition about how this year is shaping up? We've talked about how over recent years, there's been this growth in not only the fishing industry in general, but in you know, bass fishing's always been very popular, catfishing in this area, but crappie fishing and walleye fishing and other types have been growing as well. Are you sensing that growth?
Continuing? I really think we're going to have I think it's going to be a good year for people getting out. All the indications are there. It's kind of amazing that. You know, still seeing people spending a lot of money getting their gear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just kind of wonder when does that. You know, you hear a lot about the cost of everything going up, and it is.
I mean, right.
You know, we've had to raise a lot of prices on stuff. Well, you know, it's beyond our control.
Yeah.
And you know, at what
like every other industry,
what point does a consumer kind of get fatigued?
Yeah. It shows you. It really does show you truly how much people have either rediscovered or are discovering. The great outdoors, in being out fishing for the first time or being out in the woods or whatever it may be, hunting, shooting.
Fishing and stuff doesn't have to be expensive.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
exactly
it really is. Once you get your rod and your reel and, you know, it's a fairly inexpensive sport. I mean, Mm-hmm. You know, it's
or else you take it to the excess, like yeah, guys like me. But I mean, that's just. I mean, he doesn't have to be.
You don't need a $200 swim bait to catch a bass.
No, right. You don't.
You just don't.
And right. You don't need 35 rods in your box. I mean, I have 35 rods in there, but I've been doing it since I was a kid. I've been, you know, slowly building.
And you also
that.
Get paid to do it.
Well, that's there's that, but I mean, it's like you know, it's.
That's a
like
different
Mark
level.
Says, you can get away with one. You know, a kid could get away with one nice rod and reel and a small tackle box, and you can go have fun.
You're talking to that kid right here.
If you're,
that's how I've
if you're somebody that fishes farm ponds and stuff, you know, just a medium action rod.
Yep.
You know, you can catch bluegill, crappie, bass, catfish, whatever's in that pond, and have a blast.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think that's, I mean, that's my favorite.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys overthink it anyway.
Yeah. I want to get into this week's fishing report. We also have the R100 event right around the corner. We'll tell you a little bit about that as well. You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Back when it was me and my
girl. This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. One more segment to go here in this week's show. I want to remind you that if you've missed anything today or just want to make sure that you never miss a minute of the Bluff City Outdoors Show, you can subscribe to our podcast. We put this show out as a podcast shortly after we get off the air every weekend, and that way you can take us with you out on the water or when you're out in the great outdoors and never have to miss anything. We're on basically every podcast platform there is. So whatever your favorite one is, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Google, many, many more, just search the Bluff City Outdoors Show and you will find us and subscribe and take us with you when you are in the great outdoors. Talking about all these cool events that are coming up, none more exciting, Mark, than the Reinhardt R100 event that you at Bluff City Outdoors are a big part of bringing to St. Louis for the first time.
Yep,
exciting
stuff. That's coming up. Yeah, April 14th through the 16th. That's our 50 North American targets, 50 African safari targets. We're doing it right there in Godfrey. I'm excited about it. They're excited about it, and I think it's going to be a wonderful event.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a Facebook event out there about it, and then also Reinhardt does too. So
that's Camp Warren Levis, right? The old Boy Scout
Camp Warren Levis at the Boy Scout camp.
Yep.
Great,
my
spot.
Old neighborhood. I grew up stomping around in there. Yeah, that's why I want to come see it. I haven't been there in years. Somebody told me the lake's dry again. Is that true? Do you know?
No, it's back.
It's back. Okay,
yep, they dredged it out.
So
I was lied to.
We've talked, we've talked about this event since you booked it, and since this became a reality with Reinhardt and bringing the event to our area. And talked about what a big deal it is in the industry. And I could see that again when I was out there this past weekend. We were talking earlier in the show about me bringing my 12-year-old daughter to Bluff City Outdoors for the spring sale this past weekend. And she shot in the archery range for the first time ever in her life and had an absolute blast. And while we were there, we're talking to Jeff the Bowtech about the R100 event. And you could see, and here's a guy whose whole life is archery.
His whole life is
the bow and arrow.
That's awesome.
It is.
And you could see it. You could see when a guy like that, when you could see it in their eyes and their face, the excitement of an event coming to town, you see what a big deal it is. You see how cool that is for our area and for the people that are diehard bow and arrow guys, archery folks, or people that are just getting into it that can go out and enjoy
just
it.
Just because they have all kinds of divisions, classes for the shoot. So it's just it's just in the industry, it's a big deal. There's two kind of traveling events, and that's one of them. And it's
will there
cool.
be big like the bow companies and stuff be there with their product? Is it work
no,
like that?
They typically don't. They're Matthews is a big sponsor of the event. So they'll have banners and stuff put up.
I got you.
That Reinhardt puts up.
I didn't know if there'd be any celebrity types like a Ted Nugent or something crazy that.
I don't think
Mark McMurray will be there.
Yeah.
Well, that's
the
true.
The host of the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
And I'm going to show up at some point. So
yeah, there you go.
We got that going for us, which is nice.
So there'll be a couple celebrities there at least.
I just didn't. I mean, I'm not a bow guy, but I just figured, there might be, it's an event that big, there'll be people from all over the country, right?
Yeah, I mean, people, they say usually it draws about 200 miles an hour. So, oh. I mean, you're going to have people from probably Columbia, Jeff City.
Do they do this just once a year?
So it's a traveling, they have them about every 2 weeks across the country.
Yeah. Oh, this so is, it's yeah. like a traveling circus. Yep. Oh, yeah. Cool.
It's the first time in our area.
That's awesome.
And yeah, so it's
hopefully we impress them and they'll be back.
Exactly. That is exactly the goal, right? Exactly the goal.
So people come watch.
So best way to get the information about it?
Is Facebook page. Yep. Gotcha. Like I said, we got an event out there and I'm going to do a lot more posting, refreshing it there, like I said, and then Reinhardt on their Facebook page.
Got about a month out, right?
Yeah, it's about a month out.
Yeah. Yeah. 14th of April. That is exactly right. All right, let's get into, as we do every week at this time, and it might start getting exciting going forward as we're into the daylight savings time and hopefully warmer temperatures coming our way. So make sure you're tuned in every week for the fishing report. Mark, go ahead and get us started.
Let's get it going here. Go out to Truman Lake. Jordan Lear, he's a guide out there and a good buddy. Crappie, he said good, fish 15 to 20 feet. Water 5 to 15 feet down, brush piles and standing timber on the main lake, suspended schools in the creek arms, jigs and minnows are both working, natural colors in clean water, and dark colors in stained water. Catfishing is good, anchor in the middle to the back of the creeks, channel ledges in the main lake channel using fresh cut shad, 2 to 20 feet using the Santee Cooper rig. Again, he reemphasizes fresh cut shad again. Bass, he says fair, fish the main lake windy banks, halfway back in the creeks and the coves, 1/2 ounce football jigs around the brush piles, from 10 to 20 feet deep, jerk baits in a shad color, spinner baits white and chartreuse. Alabama rigs are still working well. And he says, walleye are good, fish the backs of the creeks and up the river arms. Jerk baits and crappie jigs are working good. He also did put a note on there that that's about the same for Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah, 100%.
Let's go out to Carlisle, Eric Morey, good buddies on my pro staff. Carlisle Lake said the water level and the water temps have been fluctuating a bit and has brought some murky water. That has been all affected the crappie bite, but the fish have been spreading out and can be found at multiple depths from 7 to 20 feet. White bass and catfish have been slow with some stable weather that should improve. The water temp currently is 47 degrees. Lake level is 445, and it's been on the rise. Go out to Rend. Fred Mooney, he's a guide out there. Crappie bite is good when you can find them. Lake's up at 409. Lots of fish in the buck brush now for the upcoming spawn. He said crappie are transitioning and on the move. Said to find some nice fish this week, staged in 8 to 10 feet of water. Had success catching them on a tiny 1/24-ounce gray hair jig.
Wow.
That'd be a hard one to find.
Yeah.
Rumors flying about guys catching them off the rip rack at Gun Creek. And he's just mentioned it's also the commercial fishing season on the lake, so be mindful of the fellas running the nets and stay safe. Local rivers and lakes, Eric Morey. Changes in the weather and the recent rains have definitely affected the crappie bite, but the small profile baits and less moving to the bait, you can still catch them. Water temps are on the rise, so that's going to be helping out. Said largemouth are starting to bite decent on smaller jigs and soft plastics and some jerk baits. Catfish on the river, that was tough fishing, difficult out there. Twisted Cats tournament had 68 boats with a winning total of 75 pounds. Big fish was 67 pounds. Low totals for this area. Shad is the best cut bait right now.
Yeah, and as we mentioned earlier, the reason for those lower numbers was because of all the new water that's coming into what has been a very low river.
Wherever they were, they moved.
Yeah, that current's coming down and all the debris is coming down. But once, as we mentioned also earlier, this is why you need to listen to the podcast, if you missed it, is once all that water's back in the area, it's going to be
dynamite.
Game on.
Yep.
Lake of the Ozarks.
Very similar to Truman. The water's in the mid-40s to the 50s, depending on the part of the lake. The temps are on their way up, so it's game on. It's from now until the spawn, they're coming out of that winter pattern. Lake's still at winter level. It's 655, which, you know, full pool 660, and they're predicting a foot more drop. So get out there and look around like we talked about earlier. You can find all kinds of stuff. Alabama rig this weekend and the jerk bait and the jig, and as the water temperature goes up, it's going to be that big spinner bait and the square bill. And, you know, like we talked about earlier, the transition spots, you know, they're on their way from the winter pattern to the spawn. So
and
look for those spots.
We talk about our podcast being something that you can take with you and while you're out on the water and always pick up these tips from guys like Mike and from all our folks that contribute to the fishing report each and every week. And then also 10 Horse Monty on YouTube.
His practice from last weekend dropped about 3 hours ago.
Oh, so nice.
Then he'll have his YouTube channel will have the practice him and Greg had on Saturday, and then he told me he'll be dropping the tournament footage in probably another few days.
Nice.
So you can go find Gabe there.
Yeah.
TenHorseMonty.com yeah. on
Gabe
YouTube.
Gabe's Mike's partner on the water and in life in general. And
I want a guy my size to double my wardrobe, Tony. Gabe's way too big to be my partner.
And
a lot of big fish caught this weekend, too. Several over 6 in the OMTT.
Nice.
And a couple over 7 in the Anglers in Action. So the yeah. biggins are feeding up.
Yeah, you said the big fish was almost 8 pounds, right?
721.
Okay.
But there was 3 in the OMTT. They pay out 3 places on their big bass. 677, 671, and 661.
Nice.
So the big girls are eating and getting ready to move back and do their thing.
How big of a fish do you have to have in the boat to think that you've got a shot? In any given tournament, at big bass, what?
Over 6.
Okay. If it's over 6, you're thinking you got a shot.
Yeah. I had a 724 and missed out because the guy had a 726.
Mm.
That's been several years ago. But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to point out, too, that the mm-hmm. Twisted Cats, the winning team won over $9,000.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Anglers in Action was $10,000 for first place.
Yeah, we've got some great – it highlights the growth that we were talking about, the growth in the industry. And
that's
also,
a dang good payout for 60-some yeah. boats.
Also in our area.
Wow. Because Anglers in Action was 207.
Yeah.
But second place was also 7,500. So yeah. you had 10,000, 7,500.
Just highlights the growth and how much the industry is growing across the country and specifically here in our area with great tournaments all over the place.
We've got to get those bass tournaments back to the Mississippi at some time.
At some point in time, it just makes sense.
It just
you got time
sense.
For another project? You got another big? You want to build another big event? You don't got anything to do, do you, Mark?
I'll do that in after my 70th hour.
We'll sick Joey from Crocker Gator on it. That's what we'll
there
do.
There you go. Absolutely.
But Derry could use something like that. Without a doubt.
You know how much gas was bought with 207 bass boats? I mean, Alton's crazy to not try to get that to happen there.
Right, right. Got to wrap things up. Quick little programming note for you. This coming week,
oh, yeah.
I will not be here. We're going on our annual Disney vacation, the Columbo family is. So Mike and Mark are going to be hosting the show, and I will just be a regular old listener next week.
That's
and I
awesome.
Absolutely can't wait. And so make
hope,
sure.
I hope you can get your job back when you come back to me.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. That's yeah. You know what? That's what happens.
Yeah.
You know, you go down, you miss 1 week, and then all of a sudden, you don't have a job anymore.
Lose your job to injury, they always say, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So make sure you're listening next week. You can hear us at 11 o'clock on Saturday mornings and now also at noon on Sundays on News Talk STL and always on podcast. Just search the Bluff City Outdoors Show on your favorite podcast platform, and we will be there. Follow Bluff City Outdoors on Facebook and check them out on their website, bluffcityoutdoors.com. And as we mentioned with Mike, you can see a lot of what him and Gabe do out on the water and get some great fishing tips and tricks and content.
Some great live scope stuff Gabe's doing now, showing how to use it. So yeah. That's really cool.
10 Horse Monty, 10 like the metal, T-I-N, 10 Horse Monty. YouTube channel, so check that out as well. And before we wrap things up, one more time, congratulations,
thank you,
Grandpa, on the
peepaw,
brand new,
congratulations,
granddaughter.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
That is awesome, awesome stuff.
You know, I was just hoping that you know next week after like 10 minutes, we're not sitting here going, okay, Mike, now what do we do?
Leah, bring in a cattle
hey,
prod.
I'll tell you what, that'll be just as interesting.
Yeah.
Either way, it's either
like Venus flytrap and Dr. Johnny
yeah.
Fever.
Yeah. It's either gonna be great or it's gonna be a train wreck. And either way, it's gonna be great to listen
that's
to.
That's true. That's
so
true.
So you don't want to miss it. All right. So make sure you're tuned in next week. And thank you so much for listening to us this week. I'm Tony Colombo for producer Leah, for Mike Marfell. And for Mark McMurray, thank you so much for listening to another edition of the Bluff City Outdoor Show here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
Beep.